Kelly and I were just talking before we started recording about all the fucked up shit we read where like men are like stalking women and we're like, yeah, but like I draw the line at that because those men would never hurt those women they're stalking. Never.
He would just kill like her entire extended family for looking at her the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, normal stuff.
Totally acceptable.
Hey everyone, welcome to BYOB, the Bring Your Own Book podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we are finishing our two-part mini-series that is talking about E.L. James's modern classic, 50 Shades of Grey. Last episode, we talked about 50 Shades of Grey.
And no, 50 Shades of Blue, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. But so now we have already talked about the first book, so obviously we have to talk about how the rest of the series wraps up. So this episode is going to cover both 50 Shades Darker and 50 Shades Freed. How many times am I going to say 50 Shades or 50 or Shades or
almost,
fucked up?
Almost as many times as Anna says it.
Oh, God. Let's not make this a drinking game because we want people to be alive past the 10-minute mark, okay?
Oh, my God. I want to be alive. Right. Though these books did make me feel kind of like I was led to drink.
I can relate. I definitely took a bubble bath at one point, put on the audiobook, and had a sip of something while I was in there because I was like, I need to relax to read this because it was quite arduous at times. Yeah.
It's weird. And like, I feel like this episode, we talked a lot about like the heavier themes in the first episode, like the like BDSM stuff and like those things. These two books are just a lot of really crazy plot things. We get into like action book territory, action movie territory in the third one. It's like, it's a clusterfuck.
It really is, literally and figuratively, like, honestly.
For real.
Like, I messaged you a couple times being like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is a hot mess.
Yeah.
And I just kept going and more things happened. And I'm like, how? How are there so many like crises in this book? And yet I have so much more to read.
I know. It's very, very, I don't know. It's not long, but it's very long.
It was indeed. It was indeed.
I don't know if it's just because we read them so quickly and all back to back, but I did reach a point. I really think that I reached it by the like halfway mark of the second book where I was like, I've had enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like I said in the last episode, I felt like the first book was a lot of fun. And maybe it's because it was following a more simpler plot. And it was like as close to Twilight as you could get with the way she changed a lot of the key points in that book.
Mm-hmm.
But like the second and third books, I was just like, what is the point of this? Like, what is the conflict here? Why is there a book? I don't know. Because there were so many little side things happening that didn't really amount to much, you know? So it was kind of like slice of life and then like drama over here, drama over there. Anna's at work again, emailing Christian back and forth about the most mundane things possible. And then we're back to another crisis. Like, it's just, it was so taxing. Like, I felt like I was going through it with Anna and not in a good way. And like, at the end of the series, it's only September. They met in May.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't like thinking about that. I was thinking like the end, like the epilogue, and I'm like, she pushed out a whole kid.
Yeah.
And he's like three. And then there's a baby on the way. And then my second favorite
part. Oh, no. Yes.
The breastfeeding comment.
Oh, that I was going to say right before it when he was like, I wonder if our baby loves sex already or whatever. Or she says it. Or he says it.
I think someone says it. And it's disgusting. Fucking gross.
Right? I wonder if our unborn child that's currently inside your womb is enjoying the sex we just had. Like, ew!
Yeah. I don't like that. I really... Well, I definitely didn't remember that part, but I did remember the breastfeeding comment and was thinking, maybe I made that up in my head. Like, maybe that wasn't a thing that actually happened. But when he said it, I was anticipating. I was like, okay, when is this gonna, when are they gonna throw this at me? Because I remember Meadow, they're sitting there. I like had a very clear picture in my head of when he said this when I was in grade 11. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's a thing. You know, people, that's a kink. Yeah. But it's just, the spectrum is endless with this man. Like, the E.L. James didn't hold anything back. Like, I'm surprised he wasn't, like, straight up, like, sucking on her toes all the time and shit.
Or, like peeing on her, honestly. I know. He basically did. But not.
Well, he's pulling out her fucking tampons and shit. So, like, I don't know. They're, I just think no one person can be interested in everything. But she really just tried to pack it in there with him, didn't she? Like, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Okay, before we get ahead of ourselves, what did you rate the last two books?
I, like the first one, I didn't rate them again. I think I gave both of them like 3 stars. Maybe the last one I gave 2, because the last one was my least favorite. And I don't know if that's because I have read them before and seen the movies enough that I know that it's Jack and I know like all the shit, but I just didn't care about that book.
No.
At all. What about you?
I think the first book I gave 2.5 for like the fun and hilarity of it all. And the last two, I gave a 2 each because like, honestly, I will say there was one scene in the second book that I was like, oh my God, this is so good. But the third book, I was like, this is a lot of my time for not a lot of like reward at the end of it. But I, you know, I had fun on this journey. I'm definitely glad that, A, that it's done, but B, that we did it for the podcast, because I don't think I would have gone through them all and this quickly if it hadn't been for the podcast, because it gives me like incentive, right? Like, we got a due date. We have to get it done. Great. Yeah. Did it.
And our due date was like pushed. Well, we did, like, I think also, like, our fault, because we just didn't ever really talk about, like, when we were going to record them. But then it was creeping up, and I was like, I'm leaving, and I can't bring all of my recording stuff in my tiny suitcase, so we gotta do it.
Like, don't worry, everyone. She's not leaving. She's going on a trip. She will be back.
In my favorite rocket ship.
What?
Through, you know, little Einsteins? We're going on a trip in our favorite rocket ship, flying through the sky, little Einsteins. No. I've never actually seen the show, but I do know that part of the theme song.
I know of that, but I've never seen it. I didn't have the toys or anything.
Anyway, I'm basically like Miss Rachel.
Okay.
I feel like only people who have kids know who Miss Rachel is, but... I don't have kids.
No, me neither. I'm like, who the heck? Rachel. No. Maybe, I mean, Anna might know. She's got 2 kids, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 by now. Who freaking knows? They want to have a whole litter. I mean, they have the means. They have the means. Okay. Oh, is it okay if I want to skip to something in the third book? Because
honestly, I don't even know how to, like, format this in a way that, like, makes anything cohesive. My brain is all over the place. I just talked about the very last thing that happens in the whole series. So, please, whatever comes to your mind, just let it out.
Okay, so we're going to hop back and forth here, but in the third book, we've already said Anna had a kid, okay? She's pregnant again. She gets pregnant in the third book. Christian's reaction, I was so fucking pissed off.
Right.
And Anna was pissed off too, which I was like, hey, I'm glad. But she flip-flopped so quickly when she saw that he was upset. Like, mm-hmm. You left me. Yeah, bitch, because you fucking, like, exploded at me for getting pregnant. And he's like, how dare you? How could you have gotten pregnant? You're so stupid. How could you forget to take your shot? I was surprised that he even let her have agency over her appointments. He's controlling everything else, you know?
Yeah.
My God.
When you said, you're so stupid, I thought you were going to do the Dexter voice again.
You're so stupid. You're so stupid. And don't forget, you're so stupid.
That's probably my worst one ever.
Dee Dee.
I'm better at the Dee Dee. I love that so much. And I love that we have it in multiple episodes now.
I have a few, like, running gags throughout this series.
Now we just need to find a way for you to bring up the J-Lo movie again.
I'm sure I will, because it is applicable, just like it was in the first one, okay? We are going to watch that movie, I swear to God. Enough is enough, okay?
I can't wait.
But anyways,
wait. Yeah.
When she got pregnant, how fucking ridiculous was he?
I know. I know. And, like, I feel like that whole part is a jumble to me because, so, she's at work. She knows she's pregnant. She hasn't told him yet. And they're, like, emailing. Mm-hmm, and she's like,
as usual.
Christian's going to be so pissed. Mm-hmm. And then she gets home. She tells him? Or does he find out? No, she tells him. Is that when he cries on his knees? No. That's a different part.
I don't remember, to be honest. I'm trying to find... Okay, so she tells him because he, like, tries to give her something, I think. And she's like, I can't. Oh, no. He's just like, will you tell me what's wrong? And then she says, I'm pregnant. And then he goes ballistic and he says, did you forget your shot? And then he bangs his fist on the table and says, Christ, Anna, you have one thing to remember. Shit, I don't fucking believe it. How could you be so stupid? Sorry? He says, fuck. And then he just goes on about, like, we've only known each other for 5 fucking minutes. Yeah, maybe you should have thought about that. How's your NDA working for you? God.
I know.
So mad.
I think it's the second book, too, where he says, I want to punish you, really beat the shit out of you. And she goes, I know.
Yeah.
Like, I could not believe that shit. Like, Kelly and I were just talking before we started recording about all the fucked up shit we read, where, like, men are, like, stalking women, and we're like, yeah, but, like, I draw the line at that. Because those men would never hurt those women they're stalking. Never.
He would just kill, like, her entire extended family for looking at her the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, normal stuff.
Totally acceptable.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No, I just... The level of just ridiculousness in these books, I don't understand. And I don't understand this whole relationship with Dr. Flynn. Why is his psychologist at family functions? Why is he at the gala? Why, like, he's like, give him a chance. You know, like, you should not be here, okay? Like, this is so inappropriate. And Anna should have gone to therapy on her own with a different doctor. And, like, because clearly Dr. Flynn is, like, some inside guy. Like, I think he's a friend of the family or something. I mean, if he's at these, like, events, he must be by now. Like, how is that? That's a malpractice for sure. But, like.
I know. And I feel like, yeah. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but I feel like. Unless, I don't know. And I guess that's kind of what they were doing. If you're doing couples therapy, obviously you go to the same therapist because you're doing it as a couple. And then you might have individual sessions related to the coupling with that therapist. But Anna just straight up needs to go to fucking therapy. Yeah. And it definitely shouldn't be with Flynn.
No. But
yeah, I don't know. They're weird. And I hate when books do this. I guess I get it because you can't describe the whole hour of the session. Yeah. But they talk about like two things, or she asks two questions, and then Christian barges in and he goes, "You guys have been in here forever." And I'm like, yeah. Well, they really haven't been. They've only been there for like three pages, which is maybe like 10 minutes. So yeah. I think it's fine.
I find it really hard to believe that Christian has been with Dr. Flynn for years and years working on his deep-rooted issues. But then Anna comes along and in 4 months, he's like, "I've changed so much. You have done so much for me." How? She lets you do what you want to her. And so she's changed you. Like, I'm sorry, guys, but like, that's not gonna fly. It's right? Not gonna fly. It couldn't be me. Couldn't be me.
Also, like, the way that at the beginning, she's like, "You wanna punish me because I look like your mom." And then at the end, she's like, "I don't look anything like his mom." And I was like, well, what is it?
Yeah.
Which one is it, Anna? Do you look like her or do you not?
Another person that I need to talk about, and I feel like this was very unresolved, and I'm pissed off, honestly. Mrs. Robinson, what the fuck?
Oh.
So, like, basically, Grace, Christian's mom, found out and was like, "You bitch," and, like, slaps her, and then she just, like, skittles away.
Mm-hmm.
And never to be heard from again, except not because Christian goes and drinks with her after he's like upset about Anna being pregnant. Which right. Then I loved Anna's sassy text being like, "Do you want to call Mrs. Lincoln over so we can talk about your text?"
Right.
I was like, I love the pettiness.
I know. But yeah, I really do wish there was more. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like that was one of the most intriguing plot lines in the whole series.
Yeah.
Was just his stuff with Elena.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, I haven't read them, and I'm definitely not going to read the Christian versions. But I wonder if they go into detail, like more detail about what happened when he was 15. I don't know if I want that.
No, I mean, like, as much detail as E.L. James could provide, I'm sure, because, like, I don't know when she wrote the spinoff stuff, but, like, I couldn't get it together enough to read the bonus material at the end of the third book.
That wasn't happening. I was like, is the book officially done? Because I'm done.
Yeah. I messaged you being like, did you read this? Because I don't want to.
Yeah, because it was like Christian's first Christmas or some shit. I was like, I don't care.
No.
I don't care.
I really don't. And I like, ugh, whatever. I don't care. Another thing that really bothered me that we never talked about. This is so minor, but I was like, how did I forget to talk about this last episode? When Anna first... Well, I guess it's not when she first meets him. When he, like, comes by for the photo shoot, like, soon after they meet for the article, he's wearing gray flannel pants.
Yes.
And then he does that repeatedly throughout the series, like, at different points.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, is he wearing pajama bottoms? Because...
No, I think, like, they're supposed to be, like, a slack.
A flannel? A flannel slack?
I don't know, man.
Then I'm just wearing slacks all day, every day, okay? All you naysayers.
That's what we should say, like, hey, wear my business attire to your house tonight and just show up in, like, full pajamas.
I'm in my business slacks. My sleep slacks. But I mean, like, I'm not even trying to make him feel bad. I know he's not real, but, like, if I had that money... If I had that money and I could just wear PJs out and about all the time, I would. I would in a heartbeat. So yeah, I'd be like, I'm rocking my gray flannel pants and the gray matching flannel top. Like,
what's it to you?
What up? Yeah. Oh, take my photo.
One, like, speaking of, like, unresolved things.
Yes.
Was the Mia and Ethan thing unresolved? Because I feel like they had weird tension and they were like, he doesn't want to be with her, but she wants to be with him, but he wants to be friends, and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, she gets kidnapped and then there's, like, nothing else.
Yeah. I was very confused by that, too. I was like, did I miss something? Because I thought they were, like, chatting, flirting, like kind of seeing each other. I didn't know there was an issue at all, so I definitely missed that part. And then at the end of the book, when it was like, oh, they're talking or they're dancing or whatever it was, I was like, yeah, and like, I don't know why this is surprising to you. So I don't know what happened. Like, I literally don't know what happened.
That's so funny. Just like block out a whole subplot line.
There were so many.
I know, that's true. Like, you can't focus on them all.
No, I thought Taylor was married. And then in the second book, when he gets with Gina, who's like Mrs. Jones? Is that her name?
Gail.
Gail.
Gail. Oh, is whatever. Mrs. Jones. Yeah. Yeah, you find out that they're together.
Yeah, and I thought Taylor was married. And I was like, as I was reading the books, because I know last episode we were like, I want to hear about Elliot. I want his story. I want Taylor's story, but not if he's with Gina or Gail. Gail. I don't care about Gail. I don't trust her.
And then they get married because they say in the epilogue, why don't you go in and see Mrs. Taylor about getting some popsicles or some shit.
Yeah.
And I was... Then I was like, his last name is Taylor? Because I was like, I mean, I guess they call everybody by their last name, but I was just thinking his first name was Taylor because he just calls him Taylor all the fucking time. I'm like, oh, okay.
They did? Well, they said his real or his first name at some point. I forget.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, because I know Luke is Sawyer.
Yeah.
But I forget who Taylor is. I wanted to know his story until he got with Mrs. Jones, or Ms. Jones, I guess. See, why is she Mrs. Jones? Was he a homewrecker?
No, I think it's supposed to be like, you know how, like, the head woman of, like, the maids in a house is always Mrs.? Like,
oh,
I think that's just, like, carrying on the tradition of that, because, you know, like, Downton Abbey, Mrs. Hughes... Mm-hmm. Runs all the maids, but she's not married.
Interesting.
She's still
there's only one
she's
lady in the house besides Anna. If you even want to call her a lady, she's kind of like a thing for him to use.
A vessel.
So, honestly, it's too much. That. It's too much.
It is too much.
I can't. I will talk about the one part that I really liked in the second book, which you might be able to guess, just because I thought it was well done, which I was like, okay, this is weird.
Okay, wait, so though, let me guess. Let me situate myself in what happens in the second book. Okay.
Every book has one scene that I liked, except for the third book.
Is it when they're in the apartment with Layla?
No.
Is it... When?
I wish you could see her. Her thought process.
It's like you could see the question marks like flying around my head.
You're dodging wrong ideas.
Is it the last part where you get Hyde's perspective?
No.
Is it when Kate... And that, no, that's in the third, no, yes, no. Is it when Grace slaps Elena and, oh, before that, what the fuck is her name, Anna? She goes, you're a child molester, or whatever, in the hallway.
No, but I did love that.
Okay, like, I don't know. Those are the only things I remember from the second book.
I feel like you're thinking way too hard.
I am.
I really loved the scene or maybe it was like over a chapter, but like they go to a restaurant and they're like, he sits by her and he like puts his hand on her leg, but like doesn't touch her. And she's like, oh my God, is he going to touch me or whatever? And then they go to the elevator and he like pretends to tie a shoe, then comes up and like puts his hand up her dress. And she's like, and there's people in the elevator.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh my God, this is actually so well done.
Yep.
And there was only one scene like that in that whole book to me where I didn't feel like, ew, ew. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is like very clearly plotted out. It's like good tension here.
Yeah.
You know, and like in the first book, I really liked her dream sequence of like with the riding crop. I thought that was well written and like very mm-hmm. sensual, whatever. But then the rest of it, it's just literally, it feels like E.L. James is like, and insert sex here, insert sex here. Like, it doesn't.
It felt like a man wrote a lot of it.
Right?
Like, yeah. I agree. I did like that scene. I think, what mm-hmm. does he do? They get into the restaurant and he says, go to the bathroom and take your panties off.
Yes.
And so
yes.
she does. And then he sits on the same side of the booth as her. Mm-hmm. And he never touches her. She says several times, like, he's moved his hand to his leg. And their legs are, like, right by each other. But yes. he never reaches over. And she goes to touch him. And he, like, puts her hand back over, like, yeah. to her own side. I did like that.
Yeah. And he, like, he had his hand on his knee. And then he picked his hand up and just kind of, like, held it in midair. And she was like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then he just puts it back down his leg.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, like, fun, you know? And it was like, oh, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? But every other scene, it's basically like, I'm mad. Go over here. Boom, boom, boom. And then he's like, come on, Anna. Let's go, baby. And then it's done.
That's like, true.
Literally.
Yeah.
Always. Or when she's like, could you slow down? He's like, no. This is good. Like, okay.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, great. Glad you're enjoying yourself. God.
Yeah. I feel like they should have chosen a better pet name for him to call her, because I feel like baby wasn't good.
But, like, what would the alternative be? Do you consider Miss Steele a pet name? It's so long. I don't like it, but it could be one.
Yeah, I think, like, the way that he uses it, it would be, like, a pet name. And I don't know. There's just something about, like I'm fine with the pet name Baby, but there's something mm-hmm. about, it doesn't seem to, like, fit his character. No. Like, it doesn't jive with everything that he's doing. Even though, like, we talked about in the last episode, I really liked the scene in the first book where they were going to get groceries and they, like, made dinner at her house. That felt like a Christian who would call someone baby, maybe. Mm-hmm. But real Christian, I feel like, doesn't actually say that.
Yeah. But, like, he doesn't feel like a sweetheart person. He's not a honey. He's not a darling or a dear. Like,
yeah.
It's gotta be something extra, not sugar. That's, like, too...
But I think even if he had just called her, like, babe, that would have even been better. I don't know what it is. There's just something about when I was reading him saying, oh, baby, it just felt like that's, like, a very forced word.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a nitpicky thing. But I just feel like that's not Christian. It's not my Christian.
Not my Christian. I wrote down a timestamp in my book. Even though I don't have the audiobook, I have to give it back to the library. But I will get it just so I can share it with you, Nikki, because I laughed so hard. They were having sex, and this poor narrator, whatever her name is, she's had to read a lot of these sex scenes out.
Yeah.
And I think she just got so tired of it, because I wrote down the timestamp because he said something like, come on, baby, or let's go, like, he wanted her to finish. And he always says, like, come on, Anna, or come on, baby, whatever. And the way she said it, it was so, like, just like, come on, baby. Like, it was just so bad. I was just like, oh, my God. Like, is this a supposed to? Oh, this is the wrong book. They all look the same to me. Like, I can look at the Twilight covers and be like, oh, yes, this is the first one, second, third, whatever. But when I look at these, I'm just like, blue. Like, I have gray. No clue. Blue, gray, 50 shades. Like, I don't even know. But this poor woman, I swear, like, I hope she's in a good place now.
Just reading lots of books that aren't, like, torturing her mentally for life.
Oh, God. I mean, okay, something, speaking of torture, something we talked about in the first episode was just the backlash that this book or this series received from the kink community and people who engage in BDSM relationships. The first book, I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's not great, but like, I don't know why you're so mad. The second and third books, I was like, ah, okay, I can see now, because I really wonder how much research, if any at all, E.L. James did before writing the series, because like, I'm not an expert, I'm not a psychologist, but I'm pretty sure most people who engage in healthy BDSM relationships aren't like, I was severely traumatized as a child and now I just want to inflict pain on women.
Right.
That sounds like a psycho, like serial killer kind of vibe, and not like a romantic relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think too, like a lot of like kink, when it comes to specifically roles like they're portraying in this book, like a dom sub relationship, there's a lot of like aftercare that takes place with relationships like that, where, I mean, everybody has aftercare, like you have sex and then you like cuddle for a little bit, but I would say usually it tends to be like a more intense aftercare regimen when you're doing something like this, because these are feelings that are being let out like in the moment in a certain way, whether you're like using a flogger or you tie someone up or whatever. And then once that release happens, there's a come down period where you could be feeling shame or sadness or just tired. You're feeling overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And that was never explored. It was like they did it. And then he was just like, okay, great. Gonna go put my clothes on now and resume my life. Like he never felt like, now I'm sad that I did that to you.
Yeah.
And explore that side of the relationship. And maybe, I think it would have been nice to see them, like him showing her how he needs to be taken care of after those scenes. Because I think obviously she would need to be taken care of too. But there are different ways that people feel taken care of.
Yeah.
But that's just never talked about at all. It's just like, I'm going to beat you. And you're going to cry, and then I'm going to go back to work.
Yeah. And then we're going to get into an argument, and then I'm going to make you have sex with me again.
Yeah.
And then make you go to sleep and eat. Like, honestly.
Oh my God, the amount of like food shit in these books really bothered me.
God, it's so much. Like, it's not torture porn because there's like some kind of plot woven through, but it just, it's a lot of just like icky stuff that you're like, why? Yeah. Why does this have to be this way? Like,
I know.
I don't understand. It's not really very sexy.
I know. I really feel like if you like tore these books up and put all of the emails together and then all of the sex scenes together, there would be like one book of plot left.
Yeah.
And then one whole book that's just emails and one whole book that's just like mediocrely explained sex.
I said to my husband, I was like, there are maybe 5 pages per book that I think are like written well. So like that dream sequence, that restaurant scene, the rest is just like a hot mess of like, let me get this on the page. it feels like she wrote scenes and then she went back to fill in all the blank spots, but there were so many blank spots to fill in. So I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
How, like, what was the publishing process? What was the editing process like? I don't know. There's so many things that don't need to be in this book, whether it's like, you know,
hi, Anna, what would you like to drink? Or like, you know,
orange let me email juice? Back and forth.
Yeah.
Let me email back and forth for no reason. Just cause, you know, like.
Also, nobody emails like that.
No.
Even when I was in grade 11 and these books came out, nobody emailed like that.
No.
Just send a fucking text. And then we also don't have to read the timestamps and the subject lines and the fucking sign-offs. God. Like, holy shit.
Know.
Anna, blah, 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 blah. Christian, blah, 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 blah. It would have cut down on so many pages, too.
Oh, my God. This was, like, 20 hours. It would have been, like, 10.
I know.
Not really.
But that's what it feels like.
Seriously. He's like, use your BlackBerry. The emails are being monitored. I'm like, what about your emails, bitch? Like, what? And also, yeah, why does she have an iPad that she uses only for music? That she has a BlackBerry.
I know.
She never uses for anything, really. And then her computer, like, does she bring his computer to work with her? And then they just keep emailing? Like, I don't know. But they just email nonstop. Yeah. That's all she does know. On the internet.
Also, like, forget about the don't email on your like, just don't email on your work email.
Right?
With your partner. Like, if I was gonna send unnecessary emails like that, I would do it on my personal one.
Yeah, hello, like everybody else.
For real. If I was gonna pretend my email was iMessage, I would do it on my personal email.
And not have to put your signature all the time. My God.
Right?
Just, like, get a
Yeah, you
grip.
Can turn that off on Gmail. You can turn it off.
Yeah. He's a billionaire, genius mastermind. He doesn't know how to use his fucking email, you know?
Oh,
like,
God. Also, God. He uses a BlackBerry. Who does that?
I did for a while. I liked
the buttons.
I take
it back.
I liked the, like, keyboard, you know?
That makes sense.
Yeah, I had it, and then I got an iPhone, and then I went back, and then BlackBerry sold their software, so you could not update your phones anymore. And so, yeah, rest in peace, but I loved my BlackBerry.
I never had one.
I loved it. I felt so cool. And then I was so not cool, because everyone else was like, why do you have that old relic, you know? But whatever. I liked it. But I was not using it for this purpose like they were.
No.
Get a grip. It's too much.
Sending weird, like, subject lines that continue as a sentence in the body of the email. I could talk about this forever. I have, like, so many problems with this shit. And also the, like, how he changed his sign off every time.
Yeah.
You're not that witty.
No.
And at the rate you're sending emails back and forth, you would just have to have a fucking note in your phone that has all these things for potential, like, subjects that come up. So you can be like, I'm going to put this funny thing in here. Maybe he has an assistant that does that for him, too.
It's Andrea or Andrea just emailing back and forth. He's like, Andrea, please write down, take my dictation. And she's like, okay.
I was literally just going to say, like, him, like, with a stress ball, like, leaning against his desk. Okay. Andrea, here you go. Miss Steele, I'm going to fuck you into next Sunday.
My Duck, palm sir? Is twitching.
Yeah. I hate.
Right?
Hate the twitchy palm thing.
My eye is twitching. Like, yeah.
It really fucking bothers me.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
How presumptuous of Christian to just assume that Anastasia is reading his signature every time. Like, every little word he writes is so important. I gotta read every little thing. If I see that signature every email, I'm not reading it.
No.
Get out of here. I'm hiding that shit. I don't care. I know who you are.
Right?
Like, sadly, I don't want to, but here we are. So,
Honestly, oh my god. I just like
I can't
with a lot of these things. Like, what? Why don't we talk about Jack Hyde? Another person I just can't with.
Oh my god. So gross.
I'm pretty sure that the guy who plays Jamie Lannister plays him in the movie.
Really?
I could be lying, but that's who I'm seeing in my head.
He is so handsome.
Yeah. One second. Why is Googling he in that movie?
Isn't he like busy doing other things?
Oh, no, it's not him. His name is Eric Johnson. He's Canadian, cousin? Which sucks.
Oh. Is it Eric with a K?
No, he's known for playing Flash Gordon on the 2007-2008 television series. Oh, Flash Gordon. Okay.
I never watched that.
No, I didn't either.
I don't care.
Facts. That's what he looks like.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't mean to say that in such a way. He looks like someone else. That's why I was like, oh.
Yeah. Also, so one of the, I don't know, I feel like we've talked about it a lot. I work at a theater company, and one of the actresses that has worked with our company quite a bit since I've been there, her name is Kirsten Alter. She is like the loveliest human being ever. She plays Prescott in 50 Shades Freed.
Oh my god!
Yeah. I was like doing a bad movie binge, like I think over the summer, and I watched the 50 Shades of Grey movies, and when she came on screen, I was like, holy shit. And then she came and she did Bluebirds with us in the fall. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I saw her and I went, oh my god, you were in, she was in RV as well. I was like, you were in RV and 50 Shades Freed? And she was like, yeah, I was.
I love like, that.
Get that money. But I just thought it was like so crazy, just like randomly watching. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm like nearly asleep and I look up and I'm like, that's Kirsten. Whoa, so weird. I know her.
That's so funny. I get like that when I see people on commercials I know. I'm like, oh my god. And then I message them. I'm like, I saw you at the burger thing or whatever. And they're like, yeah.
I did like, that.
Oh my god. That's so funny.
I know. So random.
Good for you, girl. Right? Get that money.
I wonder what it was like on set. I kind of wanted to ask her, but then I was like, I feel like that's weird to delve into when I'm also at work. But I just wanted to be like, what was the dynamic like?
Right.
What was happening?
Right.
She must have just had like, what do they call it? Day player. Maybe she's there for like one day. That would be the best. She in it a significant amount?
She's in like a few scenes.
Okay.
Like enough that I think she'd be there for a bit. She's in the background a lot, I think. Like just kind of like standing with the other guy, Sawyer.
Yeah, Luke.
Luke. My guy Luke.
My BFF. Yeah.
Yeah. How odd. You know what would be funny to read a couple chapters through their perspective of just like, what the fuck? Like, this guy I work for is so weird. Like,
thank God I'm getting paid so much.
Right? I would love it if there was like a Jim and Pam kind of dynamic of like, Pam is Anna and maybe Taylor is Jim and Christian is, what's his name? Starts with an R. The guy that she's originally engaged to, Pam.
Roy,
yes. He's Roy. And Taylor's like, Pam, Anna, are you okay?
And she's like, I'm fine, whatever. And then they get together. And then they have this whirlwind romance. And then, like in Enough, they have to escape this rich guy, okay?
And he trains her. Taylor would train her. And she already knows how to shoot a gun because her dad or stepdad, Ray. I'm so ready.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I did not remember the Ray plot line at all.
Oh, God.
And, like, that was, I feel like, unnecessary to put in. I was like, there's already a lot going on. But also, like, my dad was in the hospital a little while ago. So it was like, mm-hmm. I don't really want to read about this right now because I feel like those feelings are very close.
Yeah.
But also, I was just like, there are like 800 things happening. Like, why does her dad also have to be like a thing in this? It's just right? So fucking stupid.
Could we even, I don't know if it's possible. Do you think we can go book two to the end of book three of like major plot points, like side plot?
Maybe. Let's try.
So many. Okay, book we'll challenge two ourselves.
How does book two start? Jesus. Oh, they get back together.
After 5 days of being apart, the longest 5 days of her life. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she doesn't eat anything in those 5 days.
No.
Except.
And he's mad.
Ice cream? Or she drinks water or something. Anyway.
She has orange juice, I think.
It's always orange juice.
Thank God for OJ. Yeah. Orange juice, I mean. Let's be clear.
Yes. The drink.
Not that kind of podcast. Yeah. So
she's broken up for 5 days. They have sex. But they don't get back together yet. Then they get back together.
Mm-hmm. Ethan comes.
Yes.
No. Yes. Yes. No.
She. She is at the apartment with Christian. And they're like, she wakes up. She's like, someone's in the room. And then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He like takes her to a hotel. And they like.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm wearing, like, Christian's, like, baggy stuff. And they use the alias pants. Taylor. And
yes!
Yeah.
And, where the Taylor story begins. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're staying at a hotel they stayed at before. No, that's when her dad's sick.
Yes, okay.
Geez, everything is, like, blending together. These three books are all the same book with, like, different minute details. Just
different settings. Yeah.
Okay. So he sweeps her away. There's a thing with a hairdresser.
She wants to get a haircut. He takes her to the salon.
Oh, and drama.
It's Elena, Mrs. Robinson's salon
that Christian like backs secretly. Or not secretly, silently. It's a silent partner. Not a secret partner.
Just as Christian loves it. Silent partner.
Yeah.
And so then she's like, I don't want to get my hair cut here. And then they go back and they go back to like the hotel. Taylor's like, the apartment's clear. Layla was in the apartment. And she's like, oh, who's Layla? And he tells her. And then she's like, oh my God, she was outside my work. And he was like,
oh,
what?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me? And she's like, I didn't know, you know? And then.
So ensues the drama.
Yes.
Ethan visits. But she doesn't see him because she's with Christian.
Yes.
She goes up to her apartment to grab Ethan for them to go to dinner. Layla is there. She makes her tea. Well,
oh my God.
Yeah. While she's trying to distract her from the gun. And then Christian, unbeknownst to Anna, bathes Layla and gives her some of Anna's clothes.
Yeah, Anna is taken out of the apartment by Taylor. She's not after, there for the bath.
After there's a lot of yelling.
Yes.
Like, Anna, leave now.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just Christian stuff.
He, like, puts her away, like, in a mental institution.
Yeah.
Like, fully paid for. He's like, don't call the police. And I don't think it's out of the goodness of his heart. I think it's because the NDA. He's like, I don't want people to know my kinky fuckery.
Jose comes. Her and Christian are in a fight. Jose comes to visit. Christian gets in a helicopter accident. And they think he's possibly dead. But he's not, obviously, because there has to be another book.
Yeah, hours later, he just walks through the door. He's like, why is everyone all upset? And everyone's like, oh!
Because no one can care about him. He doesn't understand that people care about him, Kelly.
He is such an extra little bitty, okay? He is the girl. He's the girl in school who's like, I'm so fat. And you know they're just like waiting
he's for you to be like, pick no. me girl.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Christian is a pick me girl.
He is the manic pixie dream girl of E.L. James's dreams. Like, literally. Yep. Then the third book starts at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, Jack Hyde.
Oh.
Hits on Anna several times. And she's like, what the heck? But I like this job. And Christian's like, I don't trust him. He's fucked around with a bunch of his secretaries. Blah, blah, blah. All this stuff.
But he doesn't tell her that right away. He just... he's like, there's like, stuff on her on his computer. Yeah. And she's like, what stuff? And he's like, I can't hear you. And she's like, what stuff?
I can't hear you. Yeah. La la la. Yeah. Yeah. And so then one day she gets invited to go to a conference with him, with Jack. And Christian's like, over my dead body, are you going on a work trip? Are you leaving my side for 24 hours at a time? And so she's like, I want to go. And he says no. And then he goes above everybody's head and like stops company spending.
Right.
And Jack gets pissed off. And then he's like going to go to the conference and he asks Anna to stay late to help him prepare. And then he like corners her in a room and like tries to put a move on her. And she's like, no. And she like kicks him or hits him or something.
I think she kicks him in the nuts, doesn't she?
Maybe.
Right in the nuts.
And then Christian comes in and like she goes in the car for a bit with Taylor or Sawyer or someone, Prescott, I don't know. Tom, Dick, or Harry, one of them. And then
I was like, Tom Bombadil? I don't know why my head went there.
I could not handle a Tom Bombadil character in this story.
I think it would have made it a lot better.
It'd be Mia.
Just singing.
God. Yes. The whole thing. Mia. The narrator's voice for Mia was so annoying. It was like, Anna, I'm so excited to see you. Like, it pretty much was the Tom Bombadil, honestly.
I love that.
Everyone had the exact same tone, just different, like, speeds.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, Anna. Come on, Anna. And then Kate was, Anna, come on, Anna. And then Mia was, Anna, come on, Anna. Like, everyone was like.
Just different pitch.
Yeah.
Every time she had carriage, she got out a pitch pipe. Boo. Okay, I'm ready.
Saw that in the red room, she'd be like, ooh, what's this for? No fucking clue.
Okay. I have to say, when she like gets the little package together for him and she's like, we're gonna use all this stuff, and he's like, no, we're gonna use my finger, not the butt plug you chose. And I'm picturing like a fucking massive ass butt plug, like those Christmas tree ones, even though I know that's not what she picked, but that's like what I'm picturing. It's like this fucking huge thing.
Oh my God.
Or like one of the ones that you put in and then like it opens.
Oh my God. Anna would do that. She'd be like, ooh, this looks fun. Like, you don't know anything about it, girl. Baby steps. It's because he just threw her in the deep end. So now she's like jumping on it herself. No.
I'm off the deep end.
She's like, what? A dive in. I'll never meet the ground. Like, yeah, great. That's not something to brag about, girl.
Yeah. Okay. Back on track. Jack Hyde. I think that happens earlier in the book because she's like, she works for a good portion of the second book. Yeah, because like right after she's like, we'd like you to act as Jack's thing because you've been here for 5 days and you know his authors. And I was like, okay, that doesn't make any sense, but whatever.
Yeah.
So she becomes like the acting editor. And then I think in that book, she becomes like the permanent one as well.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And then at the end of the book, you see Jack, like, stewing in his car, and he's like, fuck Christian Grey, I'm mad, vroom vroom, and then he drives away.
And Christian proposes to her in the second book.
Oh, yeah, and they do it with the flowers.
With the flowers?
They do it in the boathouse with all the flowers around them.
Oh, I forgot about that, because they have sex so often. I'm like, I don't remember.
Because she's like, I want hearts. Oh, we totally missed the fact that in that whole plot line that he had asked her to marry him. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, not right now. And then she gave him the keychain that said yes.
Oh,
and then
god awful Seattle keychain.
Yeah. And then when they're in the attic, she's like, what is all this? Because she's a fucking stupid ass.
Yeah.
And he goes, you said you wanted hearts and flowers, and you have my heart, and here's the flowers. And I was like, I'm going to puke on myself.
Right?
It would be better than this.
Oh, God. I can only remember intimate moments in this book if they're truly traumatic or, like, somehow well-written. Because they're so... Like, the traumatic ones are easy to pick out. The well-written ones, it's like, oh, yeah, there was that one.
You know? I know.
So, like, wow, I totally forgot about that. I did remember that keychain, though, because I remember reading it out to Scott and being like, how stupid is this? Like,
yeah.
Here's this little keychain that blinks lights at you, and it has Seattle on it, and a yes. I'd be like, yes, what? Like, what the also, hell is this? Also,
who manufactures a keychain like that? Why does the keychain just say Seattle, yes? Or yes, Seattle. Like, that's stupid.
Is there a no Seattle? Was this a custom made?
Right.
He's got all the money in the world. I'm just saying. And she chose her... Her big gesture was a keychain that lights up.
Yeah. I really got super tired of the conversations that she was having with herself and him about his money. Like, I think he said in the first book, I make like $100,000 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't feel bad about going and buying a fucking Birkin and whatever the fuck I wanted. Do I want a car this week? Cool, I'm going to get one. Because guess what? Next week, all that money that I spent is going to be, like, back in an hour.
Yeah.
So who cares?
I'd be getting, like, all the food I ever wanted.
Right? I'd be like, Mrs. Jones, you're fired. We're replacing you with a tablet in the kitchen that's just for skip the dishes. Because... We don't need you anymore.
She will be the personal skip the dishes driver. She only gets my orders.
And guess what? You get to pick out whatever car you want to drive to because we have that much money.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And on that note, just a side thought. I wonder how much Gail and Taylor get paid. I'm like, oh, they should get $100,000 a month. If he's making $100,000 an hour, like, that's nothing.
Just give it away. Emotional labor they have to do.
Right?
And just, like, how do they get through the day dealing with this?
I mean, I know she has the weekends off, but does Taylor ever have time off? He is always there. I think they say one time he's away with his daughter for, like, a week.
And in the epilogue, he's, like, working on a motorcycle in the driveway.
Yeah.
This is off time. I'm working on my bike. Like, okay.
Yeah.
That kind of, that made me lose, like, 10 points for him. Because I'm just, like, I don't know. My dad has a motorcycle. And I,
really?
Like, yeah, he bought one when he retired. Because he used to, like, drive a little bike back in the day when we lived in Central America for a hot second.
The Dizay.
Yes, the Dizay. So when I think of someone working on a bike in a driveway, it does not do it for me. I'm like, great. So now I have to listen to you talk about your bike for hours on end and the loops that you do around pylons, you know? Like, I love you, Dad, but...
Yeehaw.
Yeah. So at least he's safe.
True.
But yeah, no. In terms of, like, major dramatic episodes in this last book, we had everything but the kitchen sink. No, had the kitchen sink, actually. We had we had her stepdad, Ray, gets in a car accident.
Anna has to get ransom money for Jack, who has kidnapped Mia. Yeah. We have a pregnancy. And there's a huge upset about it. We have a honeymoon.
Layla coming to visit
with Susanna or whoever her name is, just to be like, thank you, which was such a waste of time.
Yeah.
They
go to Aspen.
Yes.
And Elliot proposes to Kate.
Yes. Oh, Anna gets hit on at the club, and then she slaps him, and then Christian almost gets into a fight.
Oh, yeah.
With the guy.
That was a fun one. That was a fun time.
That was when I was in the bath. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, my God. I mean, oh, they buy a house. Oh, Gia Mateo, she's like, don't fucking go near my man.
Yeah, that's my man. Yeah. Also, she says to Christian, like, wouldn't it be more energy efficient if we just renovated the pre-existing house? And he was like, I'll talk to Taylor about it. I'm like, you're an idiot. This genius who's like, I want to save the world. I want to make solar-powered cell phones and all this stuff, which pretty sure already exists, but maybe at the time it didn't, whatever. so, okay, good for you, E.L. James. But, like, he couldn't understand that maybe fully tearing down a house to to build a brand new one that was, like, eco-friendly on top of it was not the most energy-efficient and eco-friendly way to do things. Like, like, okay, yeah. Dude. What a rich guy.
Also, like, the fact that he was, like, so shocked that she liked the house how it was.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, well, not everybody wants to live in a cold, like, dungeon-like castle atmosphere with, like, 20-foot ceilings and, like, 2 chairs.
Yeah. And then she had 2 chairs. And, like, paintings from your ex-sub and, like, super close-up photographs of me from my friend who you don't like.
And the Virgin Mary all over the foyer with, like, only abstract art in the rest of the house.
Wow.
So fucking weird.
What a vibe.
I love how she's like, do you have any of her paintings? And he goes, no, they weren't my taste. I gave them to Elliot. And I was like, what?
Right? I have questions. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
What are they? And Elliot, what? What is your style? What is your taste? Should we be worried for Kate?
Like, I think that we should be worried for him on the fact that his style is Kate.
Kate, yeah.
I'm kind of with Christian. God. I don't like her.
I don't like anybody in this book.
Fair.
I really don't. I just... There's...
Ethan was fine.
Ethan was barely there.
Exactly. And
I like Taylor, actually. I like Taylor.
I didn't like Jose either.
No.
Because he, even though I don't like the fact that Christian was super jealous, but did I agree with Christian on everything he was saying about Jose? Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yeah. That had to be, like, all these guys hitting on Anna and Christian being like, I told you, or like, they want you, blah, blah, blah. That was like E.L. James's way to make the readers feel like he had Anna's best interests at heart. Because I'm like, you don't. You're not saying these things out of the goodness of your heart. Like, if I said to Scott, hey, this girl is into you and she's, like, sketchy, he'd be like, oh. But it wouldn't be me being like, she's into you. I don't want her looking at you. Blah, 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 blah. Like, are you kidding me? Get a grip. Like,
right?
Get over yourself.
I don't understand. Ugh.
I feel like that's probably all the dramatic things, because they get married. They skip a whole month. Thank God.
Yeah.
In the third book. But, like, yeah, I don't know if anything else major happens. It was just, like, so much and yet nothing at all.
I know. That's the thing, right? Like, how... It's almost like a talent. Like, she's not necessarily like a really talented writer, but she has talents.
Oh yeah. Like, it's too much. I just I've tabbed so many things and I'm just like, I don't even know. Most of them. Oh, yeah. This one. I know why I tabbed, because every time she sees him barefoot, she has this like visceral reaction. She's like, why are his feet so hot? No. I can't relate.
No.
I can't. I think there's some kind of foot fetish going on here. Not for me, but like, she just kept, every time she saw his bare feet, she was like, oh my God, his feet. I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what you said before. Like, there's so many different kinks in this book, except they're not done well. And they're not really explored. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, none of them are explored well.
No.
And I don't know. I just felt like a lot of this was really unnecessary. Like, the breastfeeding thing was, like, one line. Just, you should have just cut it out. Like, why yeah. did we need the fact that he likes breast play like that? Like,
yeah.
Also, that's for the baby to sustain right? its life.
He is so selfish. Get a fucking grip. Oh my God. Okay. You know what? This actually is a big reminder for me, so thank you for bringing that up.
Because
when I was reading the bit with her saying she was pregnant and he was freaking out and all this stuff, I had It Ends With Us flashbacks.
Oh.
Because he was like, are you going to love the baby more than me, or you're going to love it more than me, and like all this stuff. Just like textbook abusive partner behavior.
Yeah.
And she does, I will give it up for her, she does give him some grief in the last book. She's like, grow up. Of course I'm going to love the baby more. Of course I'm going to put the baby first. Like, hello, yeah. it's our child, you know?
It's a baby.
Yeah. Like, you're a grown-ass baby, okay? Deal with
for
it.
For real.
You've got a whole team of people trying to fix your 50 Shades of Fucked Up. We can't even get to 49, you know? It's like so closed off. God, it's too much.
We need to do a TED talk about this.
Oh my God. I'm watching, I'm hopefully going to finish it tomorrow, but I'm watching Queer Love Ultimatum.
Oh, is it good?
It is good, but I have so many conversations with Scott being like, they need therapy. They need to figure out their shit. They are not emotionally ready. Like all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I just think about this freaking book. And how he's like, I'm 50 Shades of Fucked Up. And she's like, I love my megalomaniac, control freak, blah, blah, blah. Like, what?
There's Mr. Mercurial back again or whatever. Like,
God.
Get a dictionary. Also, right? Like, all these names are not cute.
Tell your inner goddess to put down her Charles Dickens and pick up a dictionary. It's too much.
Her Lizzie McGuire cartoon.
I can't.
What a ride. I can't believe we did this.
I know, but we did it.
I know.
And so quickly.
So quickly. Too quickly.
Oh my God. We have to watch the movies because yes. I've never seen all of them. And
I can't
it's
wait.
It's gotta be better, right? I can at least stare at Jamie.
Yep.
There's that.
There is that. Which is good.
It can't go that much downhill from where we've started. I mean,
at least they're shorter than the books.
That's true. That's true. The other thing I wanted to say about these books was, don't you think it's like the biggest red flag that her pet name for him relates back to the moment where he tells her that he's fucked up?
Oh, yeah. My 50.
Yeah.
50, 50, 50.
If she ever said that out loud to Kate, like, oh, 50 is just doing this, she'd be like, what? 50? Yeah. And then she'd have to explain. That conversation, she'd be like, oh, well, back when we were dating in the first week, he told me he was 50 Shades of Fucked Up. And I just thought, this poor man. And I would be like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
How cute. Get out of there.
And I thought, well, he's not lying.
Yeah, blink if you're okay. You know, like, oh my yeah. God. I don't know. I think the first book was fun. The second and third were just like, the wild. Oh, sorry. I totally forgot. We got sidetracked a bit. What I really wanted to talk about was when she was in the hospital with Ray, and then they leave because he's awake now. He's out of his coma. And then, like, hours later, because it's her birthday, they go and have this, like, huge surprise party for her. Like, nothing's wrong. And she's just like, oh, this is so great. Like,
yeah.
Everyone is so selfish and delusional in these books.
Yeah.
I can't fathom. If that were me, I would be like, what are you doing? Like, this is disgusting. Like,
oh, yeah. And he gives her that car, too.
Yes. And suddenly she's okay with the gifts, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
I don't understand a lot of things in this book.
Right?
Maybe that's good. Maybe that means we're normal.
I mean, as normal as someone can be who read all these in like 2 weeks.
It's true.
It's so much to take in.
I know.
I feel like I've just barely scratched the surface, but I don't want to delve too much deeper.
I know. I don't think I have it in me.
Any final thoughts?
Final thought. I'm very excited to watch the movies with you. And once we watch the movies, we're going to do a little attachment episode to this.
Yes.
Where we kind of delve into some differences. It'll just be short, but it'll be fun.
Yeah. That's actually a really good segue, Nikki, because I believe we're going to be putting that episode up as a special premium content. So we've just recently added that feature. If you're interested in finding out more info, you can click the link in our show notes at the bottom there. But basically, you're going to sign up for premium content where you'll get extra little fun bookish things, including this special movie episode. So yeah, that'll be so much fun. I can't wait to explore these movies because, yeah, I've only seen the first one. So I think it's gonna be so
I've
fun.
Seen all of them a few times. So I can't wait to watch you watch them and just see what your reactions are.
Oh, God. I'm not expressive at all.
If we get lucky, we'll watch them on my day on Instagram, and I'll post some, like, candid Kelly shots of her reacting to scenes.
Real-time reactions. Yeah. Yeah. I think my takeaway from this series is, you know, sometimes you have to walk before you can run. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I just mean, for what these books are, I mean, well, they are what they are, but at least they allowed other authors to get more book sales, get more, I guess, like, presence, you know? Like, because now there's so many BDSM books that I think are better written. Some aren't great, but some are pretty good. And so even though this was not for me, there's a lot of things out there now that maybe wouldn't have been available in traditional publishing had it not been for E.L. James. So
that's very true.
Yeah.
So props to E.L. James.
Good for you. Four for you, Glenn Coco. You go, Glenn Coco. Thank you so much for tuning in to our special two-part E.L. James mini-series. If you want to keep up to date on all things bookish, you can follow us on our Instagram at BYO Book Podcast or on our TikTok at Bring Your Own Book Podcast. Join us next time as we do a huge pivot from BDSM erotica to some of our childhood favorites. So in the first episode of this special little mini series, it's a three-parter, myself, Nikki, and Tilly will all be sharing one of our favorite childhood reads. Next week, we're going to be reading Chasing Vermeer by Blue Balliot. So if you're looking for a middle grade fun mystery adventure, tune in to that because you're not going to want to miss that. Thanks so much for listening. And until next time, keep on drinking in great stories. Laters, baby.
Next time on BYOB. On a warm October night in Chicago, three deliveries were made in the same neighborhood.